Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Women Leading the Way Radio Show, where each time you'll hear from successful women CEOs, executives, and professionals, where we'll discover how they do what they do to be successful in business. We'll be interviewing women who have overcome big challenges, women who have incredible stories of lessons learned in dealing with adversity. We'll even interview women who have started and grown successful organizations and women who are C-level executives with unique talents and positions. Our goal is to bring successful businesswomen together to share how they're leading the way in business today. Good morning and welcome to Women Lead Radio, brought to you by Connected Women of Influence. I'm Deborah Simpson, your host for a very special show, our Connected Women of Influence Awards show. Today's show is just a little different. We're actually broadcasting live at the Newport Beach Radisson Hotel, where we're holding the Connected Women of Influence Awards luncheon. With me today are several of our leading ladies who have been nominated and are finalists for several of the awards. And right now I have Elle Sebo with me. She's a best-selling author and speaker. Elle, it's nice to meet you.
Thank you so much for having me today. I'm really honored to be here.
Oh, it's our pleasure. So tell me a little bit about yourself. I'm always interested when I see best-selling author and speaker because I run the San Diego Speakers Guild.
Oh, fantastic. Well, it's nice to meet you. I am the Southern California Chapter Chair for the National Writers Union, so we should definitely talk more after the show. The first book that I published in 2010 on my own was called What Love Is A to Z. And it's a children's book that hit the bestseller list a few times and won some awards. It was really outstanding. The book just sort of took on a life of its own. And I use that book today as a tool for raising funds and awareness for children's charities. So we've partnered with amazing corporations. Jack in the Box is one of my newest sponsors who's come in and purchased the book by the thousands. They sell the book by the thousands, and we raise thousands of dollars in resources and aid for organizations like Big Brothers, Big Sisters of Ventura County and Orangewood Children's Home and some of the organizations that supported me when I was a foster child and in the foster care system. So it's just the best-selling part is just so small compared to what we have been able to accomplish and the army we have been able to rally for youth, for at-risk youth and for foster children who have no voice. It's been a real gift to me. It's helped heal my spirit and give me a purpose in my journey, but also give me the ability to turn back and do something to better the situation for those who are following in my footsteps.
Yeah, it's got to be tough to be a foster kid. You know, you see the commercials on TV where, you know, you moved around a lot.
I was in 22 different homes, and I lived on the streets and slept under bridges and was a teenage runaway because sometimes under the bridge was better than some of the homes I was in, to be honest with you.
Wow.
But it wasn't easy, and that's why I do what I do with the book, because the people who stepped in for me when my world stepped out were Big Brothers, Big Sisters. They sent me a big sister who loved me and saw me and celebrated me and showed up every week out of the goodness of her heart to teach me and to guide me and to love me. And that was so spectacular. I'm a big sister today, and that's why I serve on the board of directors, because it gives me a way to give back and to reach back to these youth. I think we forget sometimes about our silent population, our homeless. We have 1.8 million youth right now under 18 who are living on the streets of the United States.
Oh, wow.
So if you go to AmericanStreetKid.org, you can look at the new movie. There's a new documentary about it called American Street Kid. This is eye-opening stuff. It's topics it's that we need to talk about. They're not easy, and they're embarrassing. And frankly, we should be embarrassed for the state that our youth are in. But it's a viable conversation, and it should have been happening yesterday.
When they're homeless, are they in school?
No, they're not in school. They're missing their education.
Yeah.
Their health is compromised. A lot of times, 13 of those kids will die today, just today. Thousands of them will die this year. They're raped, they're killed, they're overdosing on drugs. They have nowhere to go. Sometimes they have some place to go, and they don't know that anybody even cares or where to go. So it's really about reaching some of these youth with the resources and the love and the acceptance and the direction that they need. So if we reach, whether we're reaching them on the streets in crews with camera crews trying to get the message out, or we're reaching them one-on-one through powerful one-to-one mentorship through programs like Big Brothers, Big Sisters, that's our social and moral obligation. That's why we're here. If we're not investing in the children, I'm not sure what we're investing in. They are our future.
What's one of your biggest success stories?
I don't know. I think I'm just grateful to be alive. Really grateful to be doing the work that I do and be surrounded by loving men and women who support my journey and my mission to leave the world just a little bit better than how I found it. There's been some things that people have done for me. Being a member of the National Writers Union opened the door for me to attend Harvard Law School and learn everything that I did about contracts and copyrights, and I'm very blessed for that. I'm very grateful for the sponsors who step in, like I mentioned, Jack in the Box, and their generosity.
They are a very generous organization.
Really.
I've seen them step in on other occasions as well.
They are a very generous corporation, very generous, and have supported Big Brothers Big Sisters for so many years. But I know on a macro level, we forget that our corporations, we think, that most of our funds, our donated funds, come from individuals like you and people with good hearts and big hearts, like these women who are here today. This is the earth angels waiting to know what they can do and how they can better the planet. But we forget that our corporations, behind those corporate faces and logos, are people who are waiting to give you dollars. So if you have a mission and you know you need some funds or some resources or some intelligence and some collaboration to make that happen, reach out to those corporate sponsors, because they do only make up about 6% of the giving, but that 6% equals millions and millions of dollars, and they're looking for ways to help.
Wow. So now, are you a Connected Women of Influence member?
I'm not. No. I'm brand new here.
Oh, so it's your first experience?
I'm telling you, what a magnificent and dynamic community of people. It's as if a mothership landed someplace and these beautiful people got off. I am so grateful to be here today.
Yes, and you'll find the women that are here, that are the members, are the women that you want to reach out to, because they do a lot of philanthropic things with their businesses. Linda Amaro has jewelry that she imports from third world countries, where these women are actually making their own jewelry to sell. I mean, it's just amazing.
Yes.
And now, what award are you up for?
And a 2016 Woman of Influence Awards I think it's in the authorship.
Writing, of course, the author
arena. So, it's obviously how I use that book and what I do with the writing and how I hope to inspire people and guide people to do the very same thing with whatever it is that they're creating in the world, whether it's a book, a business, or a product, to use that to be of service.
That is so cool. I'm glad I have a tissue in my pocket. But it just sounds like an amazing business. I wish you so much success and good luck on the awards today. And what is your website address?
It's www.ellefebo.com, ELLEFEBBO.
Oh, wonderful. We'll make sure to include a link in it when we put the post up with
I
the show.
That.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks to you, and thanks to all the listeners, and thanks to all these women here. This is fantastic.
My pleasure. So we'll just walk out again. Lucy's helping me for the first time. This is the second time we've done it. We did it 2 weeks ago, so it's not quite as smooth. So thank you so much. And here we are. Our next guest is Annabella Bonfa.
Bonfa.
What a beautiful name. Annabella is a gorgeous name, too. And how are you today?
I'm great. How are you doing?
Oh, wonderful. Thank you. So you are you're an attorney. So business litigation, trade secrets. So tell me, how did you get into that?
I've actually been with my firm since I was 17. I came there as a file clerk, believe it or not, in high school.
Wow.
I stayed through high school, college, law school, and left for a decade. I was stolen away by an opponent, and I came back 5 years ago to the mothership.
Wow. That's really funny. You should use that word. We just used that word in the previous interview.
I must have sensed it from outside.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, you don't hear mothership too many times in an interview. And so how do you know about Connected Women of Influence? Were you just nominated, or are you a member as well?
Member, but I was nominated by two of the law schools where I mentor law students and young lawyers.
Oh.
And so I heard about the event and met some great people here. I've been moving and shaking with some of the ladies here that are from all kinds of different companies, universities, private practices,
yeah,
and business owners. There's some great women here.
Yeah, we're pretty much business-to-business women, whether we're in corporate entities or whether we're in our own business. So tell me a little more about what you do.
my business has to do with theft of information. So I'm usually representing a client that has a company and they have an ex-employee that left and they stole customer lists, marketing information, things that you can only get from accessing private databases. So they go to another company and they undercut the prices systematically. So I'm either suing these people or I am defending people that are accused of taking something but actually didn't, and they're just competing fairly against the old company.
What made you decide to get into that type of litigation services?
I think it's very interesting. It's very cloak and dagger. I'm good at getting information. I'm very tech-oriented, so I'm familiar with emails. I think at this point I understand why people steal information and what they do with it. And I think it's very challenging, exciting, and to be able to resolve something and give somebody their business back is very fulfilling for me.
Oh, I can imagine, and it's got to be very stressful for your client when
Absolutely.
Something like that is going on. So I'm sure you're probably a shoulder that offers them some support.
That's the best part about practicing law. You know, you get to be the rock for your client, solve their problem, build a relationship with them. To me, that's the best part about practicing law, just building these relationships and knowing that you solve somebody's problem ultimately.
And how widespread is this information theft?
Very widespread. You know, back in the old days, you were stealing bankers' boxes, but now we all have USB drives and thumb drives, mm-hmm. and we upload things on
to the
Dropbox.
Cloud.
Yeah. People email it to their houses, you know, the people that aren't so smart.
Yes. And there are probably plenty of those people. I know I'm in the digital industry, so I'm always telling my clients that you can't just do a Google search for images and just decide. Or I ran across a client site. She had scraped the entire blog post from somebody else's site and gave them reference, but I said, you know, that's not really the way you do it. So
it's
pretty easy to steal information. You see it, too, with identity theft.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, people are getting their credit cards stolen, their mail stolen, and everything else. There's a lot of stealing information, but, you know, these kind of cases they hit hard because, you know, you're talking about losing your business, half of your business in the space of, like, 3 weeks.
Wow.
They really hit the business hard, and it's really a feeling of betrayal for the business, yeah.
Wow. Now, what award are you up for?
For mentorship of women in my profession. I mentor a lot of law students and young attorneys and been doing it for 20 years. And it's just great. You know, these women make excellent litigators because, you know, we have the legal skills, but as you probably know, being a woman yourself, you know, women bring a different vibe to litigation. We have good intuition. We have good people skills. We have negotiating skills. And usually we are seen as the underdog. Nobody really sees us coming because it's like, oh, it's the woman, you know. But we are good at working out relationships with people. And because of that, we can be very effective in litigation.
Oh, that's really great. So have you gone out and met some of the women out there already?
I have. I was just talking to somebody that she's here for her nominee, who is from a dance academy here in Mission Viejo. We were talking about our mutual love of dancing.
Oh, there you go. Yeah, I'm not a good dancer.
You know, we all have our talents, right?
That's right. Yeah, that's right. I'm good with technology.
You're running this great podcast. Yeah, good for you.
No, thank you. It's been so nice to meet you. Thank you so much for sitting down and talking with me for a few minutes, and good luck on that award. All right, thank you. And let's see, Lucy's stacking me up, so I have Jerry Rosen. From Working Wardrobes, The Power of a Paycheck. So I'm looking forward to that. Working Wardrobes transforms lives by providing life skills and career development training, professional wardrobing, grooming services to thousands of men, women, young adults, and veterans each year. I like that you work with veterans. I have a big veteran site on Facebook that I work, and it's around the Vietnam War. And those veterans weren't welcomed home the way our veterans are welcomed home now. So it's really nice that you work with vets.
Thank you for that. And yes, they are welcomed home, but they're still having difficult times making that transition to the workforce. So while many companies may talk about the fact that they want to hire veterans, there are not enough that are actually doing that.
Is that because of post-traumatic stress disorder?
I think there may be some misconceptions about that. But I think there's a lot of work that the veterans have to do to make that transition really easy for themselves. They're really afraid. many of them have said, I'd rather be in combat than out there in the workforce trying to get an interview to get a job. So there's a lot of fear based in what they're doing. And I don't think they come out of the military with the skill to get them ready. And that's our job. That's exactly why we exist, to make that a softer landing for them.
So tell me a little bit more about what you do.
Well, this is our 26th year of serving men, women, young adults, and veterans in Southern California. And our job is really to rebuild the self-esteem and the confidence of our clients. And even though the name talks about wardrobing, that's the final piece. We're spending 85% of our time on the inside of our clients, assessments, workshops, training, hard skills, soft skills. And then we prepare them for the interview and then get them suited up so they look really successful.
That's wonderful. And how has your success rate been?
Well, we've been in business for 26 years.
You're doing something right.
We've got the tremendous successes out there. And what is wonderful is that when our clients are on their feet and they're working, when they come back as a success story and share their stories with other people and with other clients, because people need to see role models that have really made it work for themselves.
How do you find these people that you work with?
We have a number of contracts, so we're serving the welfare to work population. We're serving many through Department of Rehab. We have a network of about 60 different social service agencies in Southern California. We have a team of veterans on staff that actually outreach to the veteran community. So we're talking to people that are on college campuses. They're going to the veteran service offices. They're going through the VA. So our outreach team is very active and engaged in reaching the veterans. We're also on the base at Camp Pendleton once a week, and so we're attempting to catch our active duty before they transition so they know they can come and get help from our center.
My part of town. I'm in Carlsbad.
Very good.
Yes. What is the most rewarding part of your business and your job?
Honestly, the most rewarding part has always been about the people. Whether it's a client or a volunteer or a donor, it's the people that have chosen to support us that really make the impact and keep me working very hard every single day. Also the joy that I think many of our clients experience when they finally get on their feet and they can take care of themselves and their families. There's nothing better than for them to rediscover the dignity that work brings to them.
Yes. Do some of them come in with alcohol problems or things like that that you need to work with as well?
Well, they have had those issues in the past. We are not a recovery program, although we do work with a number. And once they're clean and sober and they're ready to commit to success, that's the place where we can meet them.
Great. Now, if the listeners wanted to get in touch with you, how would they do that?
We have a very active website, www.workingwardrobes.org. Certainly, we invite people to come and volunteer, donate their clothes, donate their time, donate their money. And they can call our office at 714-210-2460.
What award are you up for?
I don't know, to be honest with you. I don't know, but we're ever so hopeful, aren't we? We're just honored to be nominated today.
Yes, I was nominated for the one down in San Diego, and it is nice to be nominated
right.
and recognized for what you're contributing to the small business community. So it's been lovely to chat with you today.
Thank you so much.
Good luck on the award.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Oh, our pleasure. Looking forward to it. Have a wonderful time meeting all the other women as well.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. And now I have Kim Shepherd. Kim is the CEO of Decision Toolbox. So hi, Kim. How are you today?
Great, thanks. How about yourself?
Oh, I'm fine, thank you. So nice to have you as part of the show.
Thank you very much.
So tell me, what is Decision Toolbox?
It's a high-volume, low-fee-based recruitment firm, and it's 100% virtual. We have 112 employees in 36 states, and so companies would outsource their recruitment to my company. If you were applying for a position with Wells Fargo, Black & Decker, whatever, you would go through my company, but you really wouldn't know it.
Mm. And are those jobs all virtual jobs?
100% virtual. No sticks or bricks.
See, I'm a total virtual girl, and I just think it's fabulous, the tools that we have and what we can do online.
Oh, my God. Non-mascara days are golden.
Yes, well, and I think, too, for me, since my husband is significantly older than I am, but he's going to retire in a couple of years, I'm not quite ready for that. I'm 6 years younger than he is.
Uh-huh.
So I would like to see him retire, but I want to keep working my business. So I'm taking my business virtual as well.
Excellent.
Yeah, I run the San Diego Speakers Guild down in San Diego.
Do you have employees?
No.
Okay.
I do
not.
That's
what I'm here to do.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I believe in being a solopreneur. I don't want that. I'm not at the stage in my life where I'm interested in building that up. I'm looking at an exit plan. So doing things online has been my way of life for years. I got a job with McGraw-Hill because of my desktop publishing skills, and that was in 94.
Oh, great.
And I just gotten my first Windows 3.1 machine and moved away from DOS, and I just fell in love with it.
You're aging yourself right now, you know that.
Yes, but I'm proud about it. I'm good. So, yeah, getting into the digital world has been really great. That's such a smart idea.
Thank you. Yeah.
Have you ever met any of them in person? Do you guys try and get together once in a while?
Yeah, so we have quarterly webinars, and then my director, my senior team, there's 8 of them, and they come in quarterly, and then I fly everyone in to a location. Past couple of years, it's been in Long Beach or Huntington Beach. Last October, we took over the Queen Mary.
Oh,
wow.
That was
fun. Had like 100 rooms. This coming, I don't know if I'm allowed to share where we're going. Well, it doesn't matter. We're going to Fort Worth.
Oh.
Because I have a lot of East Coast-based people, so it's nice to kind of
in the middle.
Meet in the middle, yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's once a year for a couple of days. We play, we have events, we do brainstorming, we do breakout sessions, we do training. But it's having a virtual team with over 100 people, you really have to pay attention because you can't do it accidentally. You have to think about it if you want to retain them. And my retention in out of the 100 employees in probably the last 5 years, I think I've lost 3 people.
Wow.
So it's very proud of that.
How long have you been doing this?
16 years with this company.
Okay.
And
incredible.
I own the company. My partner and
so
I own
16 years goes back to 2000.
Yeah, my seat. Exactly. February of 2000.
I was really good on that.
You're
right.
I was. You were really tough about it. My COO's been with me 16 years. My chief recruitment officer's been with me 13 years. My director of quality, 12 years. So it's and that was really my goal in building. This is my third company. And helping to build this company, my focus was I want to make it a place where people want to stay.
And how was the technology when you started? I know that we've progressed so much, and it's so much easier to have a virtual workforce, but what was it like in those early days?
I was really lucky because my business partner, he and his wife started the company and 22 years ago, and it was a fairly small company, and it was based on a technology platform. He's a technology nerd, and I'm technologically stupid.
we just call it challenge.
Yeah, I know the word. So I was really blessed because he's like a mad scientist. And so I could think up something or he would think up something and he would go off and build it. And, you know, like we would discuss it on Tuesday and it'd be built on Friday. It was just crazy.
Wow.
So we've always been technologically ahead of the curve.
Mm-hmm. And so what award are you here for?
Two, actually.
Oh.
One is Author of Influence. So I just wrote a new book.
Oh, and the book is?
It's called Get Scrappy, Business Insights to Make Your Company More Agile.
Okay.
It's my second book. And then for my company, Company of Influence.
Oh, wonderful. Company of Influence?
That's the
perfect
title, yeah.
For us. Oh, a Company of Influence. All right, that's our title. I got it.
Yeah,
okay.
I think that's what I'd love for that award.
Yeah. Right. Now, do you know any of the women from Connected Women of Influence?
I don't know. I just got here. So I haven't even looked in the room yet.
Oh, but this is your first experience.
It is. But I know, like in the at the registration desk, there were a couple of people that I knew from NAVO.
Oh, would you have an active NAVO chapter here?
Very active, yeah. Good chapter, yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
That's great.
So I'm sure I know some people in the room.
Yes. So if people wanted to get in touch with you, our listeners, how would they get in touch with you?
So my name's Kim Shepherd. Shepherd spelled like German Shepherd. And you can just Google the name and things will come up, or you can go to our website, dtoolbox.com, and there is a direct link to both of my books, both free on ebook, and also my direct contact information.
Oh, that's wonderful to know. So dtoolbox.com. I'll be checking those ebooks out because I think that's fascinating.
Thank you very much.
And good luck on the award today.
Thank you.
It's so nice to meet you.
Nice meeting you.
I look forward to seeing you when we get inside there today.
Thank you. You have a great day today.
Thank you. You too. And my next, I knew I would get her. Here she comes. Dun, da, da, da. Sylvia Becker Hill, my Uber woman. Hi, sweetie. How are you?
Excited.
It's wonderful to see you. You look
great. Thank you.
So I'm so pleased that you're here for me to interview you. So tell my listeners all about you. What makes you an Uber woman? What makes any woman an Uber woman?
Uber woman is the next phase of evolution for us women. From Wonder Woman decades ago over Superwoman in the 80s and 90s, where we all were stressed out trying to be more male than any man in order to fit in into the corporate world, into the business world, stressing us out, needing to have it all the perfectionism. Thanks God that's over. Now it's the time where we start to be Uber woman, where we define what the workplace has to look like on our own terms, where we are not trying to be someone we are not, where we bring our authenticity, our integrity, and our inner core powers to the workplace and shaping it as the new leaders. So Uber women are the leaders of tomorrow. They are women who are self-realized, who know what they want, who are not following the blueprint from someone else, who are following their own intuition, their own values, their own guidance, and create the world in partnership with men, without coping them, without cloning men, without becoming more male than any man in the environment. So we bring in the femininity and gracefulness and the power of authentic women.
How do you do all of that? Through workshops, live events?
Yes, I write books, public speaking, I do retreats, I offer one-on-one retreats for women. It depends where they are and what they need. Some women need more the one-to-one attention to go very deep, to heal some of their blockages. My background is in neuroscience, so I always check in with the woman. When you have goals or dreams and you are not there yet, there's something high likely inside your own brain which is blocking you from having that. Some old programming, very often from either early childhood or from your environment. It can be even historically, depending where you grew up. For example, I'm German, so I have a German backpack on my back from my culture, someone who comes from a certain religious background, maybe has some certain rules. We all grew up somewhere, and there are rules, for example, when men are talking, women have to be quiet, or a good girl is a quiet girl, or a successful woman is an extremely beautiful woman, and if you are not looking good, then forget about it, or intelligent women are dangerous women. So depending on what programming we have, our brain sometimes gets in our own way. And so I offer group programs, retreats, or one-on-one coaching to help women stop sabotaging themselves and breaking through the glass ceiling between their own ears.
There you go. It's kind of funny you mentioned that some of the characteristics of how women have been, because my mom, who's in her late 80s, is always deferring to men. I said, Mom, I call you and I can't leave a voicemail because your voicemail box is full. Have Carol, my sister, when she comes over, empty it. She goes, oh, okay, well, I'll find one of the men. I'm like, no, Mom, my sister can do it, honest. So it's been, and I'm of the age where I've seen the transition. In our country in the late 60s, we had women burning their bras. They were looking to, you know, empower themselves. So it's really nice to see how far we've come, and yet we still have more that we have to go.
Yes, and consciously we might be extremely liberated and emancipated. Consciously we know what we want, but our subconscious mind is connected with the so-called collective consciousness of all women. And history of several thousands of years of patriarchal indoctrination is not easy in just one generation on the push of a button suddenly out of our brain. Plus, when you look globally, we here in the United States or in Central Europe are really, really privileged regarding the freedom we have. I mean, I just drove here with several women together in a car. The car is owned by a woman. There are still countries in this world where women are not even allowed to own a car or to even make the driver's license or leave the house without a male family member going with them.
Yeah.
So all these environments, historically and politically globally, have an impact on all of us. We are not isolated. So consciously, we might be completely free and liberated, emancipated, but if we don't create alignment between our conscious mind and the subconscious programming and our values, then we create an inner conflict. For example, in my case, I have a big loyalty and love to my parents. They are a completely different generation. So I had to discover some painful blockages where I didn't want to outshine my parents. Because out of loyalty, my subconscious mind believed I have to live like my parents, which would mean a more, I don't want to say poor, but let's say a very limited lifestyle, also geographically, etc. I moved around the world several times.
Wow.
My parents wouldn't do that. So in order to fulfill my dreams, I had to become clear I can love my parents and don't need to copy their lifestyle. So there are a lot of different ways how we women can have, sadly, internal conflicts, which doesn't allow us joyfully to go for our dreams.
Yes. So what award are you up for?
What award? A woman's advocate.
Oh, duh. Yeah, that's wonderful. So, Sylvia, for the listeners who would like to get in touch with you, how can they reach out to you?
They can look me up on Facebook. I have a Facebook fan page with blog posts and videos under my name, Sylvia Becker Hill Fan, F-A-N, or my webpage, which is Überwoman, UEBERWOMEN.com. And the Ü is really an old German word, Über. It means beyond the norm, one of its kinds, and fertile and abundant. And it makes a sound like a train leaving the tunnel. It's not the Uber, which is a taxi company. It's the Ü. So Überwoman is spelled UEBERwoman.com.
Wonderful. It's been so nice to spend some time with you. Glad to see you today. Good luck on the awards.
Thank you, Anya. Thank you.
Right.
Pleasure. Bye.
Bye. And now I have Rhonda Jackson, and she's a principal and certified designer with Decor Interior Design. Rhonda, it's so nice to have you here at the show today. Welcome.
Thank you, Deborah. It's wonderful to be here.
So tell me a little bit about what you're doing.
We are an interior design company. We've become a facility resource group, so we design, furnish, and maintain commercial spaces. So everything from specification all the way through to the maintenance and operation of the building.
Oh, wow. How long have you been doing that?
We've been in business for 18 years.
Yes. And what's the best part about your business that you love the most?
I love my team. I would not be able to do what I do without an excellent team. I call myself the promise maker, and I call my team the promise keepers.
And what made you decide to get into this business?
I was actually doing window displays for a few retail stores, and I had a lady come in and take an interest in me and gave me her card and told me that I was missing my calling. So
really?
She did, and she advised me to go to school and, you know, learn about design and, you know, get my skill set up, and I did that, and it's just been one glorious journey ever since.
Oh, that's fabulous. And what typical interiors do you design?
So we actually do about 60% of our business for the federal government.
Oh, really?
So, yes. Yeah, so
interior designers?
Oh, they do. Yes, they do. But yeah, but actually, you know, the actual specification, meeting the safety requirements, you know, some of the building codes, as well as making it aesthetically pleasing. Yeah, they do have that as a goal.
Oh, there you go. Now, how did you find out about Connected Women of Influence? Are you a member?
I am not. I am hoping to become a member. It's a wonderful organization. I've done nothing but heard excellent things about it. But I have a girlfriend that's a really active member that nominated me for today's award.
Who's that?
Juanita Parker Scott.
Oh, I don't know if I know Juanita.
Yeah.
She's down up here. I keep thinking down. I'm in from San Diego area.
Okay.
So I'm from Carlsbad, and I've been with Connected Women of Influence pretty much since the beginning. I do all the web work and got them on the podcasting, and we're doing video in the other room. So it's kind of exciting. One of the things I really like about Connected Women of Influence is how forward-thinking Michelle is, the founder. And to have events like this, they're just incredible. We just had the Sue Talk a couple of months ago, and they'll be coming up in May, where it's just like TED Talks.
Yes.
But it's, and they're just, you can find them on the Connected Women of Influence site on the blog under videos. But it was just extraordinary to watch some of these women be able to give these presentations. And I think you'd love it if you were to come along and check out a luncheon.
Well, I would love that. It's funny because as a female entrepreneur, you find that one of the areas that you might lack in is having, you know, the female business partners or counterparts or, you know, to use a sounding board. So I'm really excited about being a part of this group and having my She Tribe just increase tenfold.
The support system is extraordinary. There's no competition. There's only collaboration. And so what award are you up for?
The President's Award.
Oh, wonderful.
Really, really excited.
Are you?
Yes.
Yes. Well, good luck to you. Oh, and if the listeners want to get in touch with you, how can they get in touch with you?
They can see our design portfolio at www.designsbydecor.com, Twitter handle at @designsbydecor, and Facebook at @designsbydecor.
Good for you. No one has done the social media mentions yet.
Ah.
You go, girl.
Thank you, Deborah.
Have a great time. All right. On my next, oh, of course, now, I happen to actually know who this woman is and recognize her, Eldonna Lewis Fernandez. It is so nice to see you. It's been a long time since I've seen you.
Yes, definitely.
Well, welcome to the Connected Women of Influence Award.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Excellent. Are you up for the author?
I am.
How did I know that?
You know about my Think Like a Negotiator book.
Yes. So tell my listeners a little bit more about yourself.
So I'm a retired Air Force veteran, spent 23 years in the Air Force, retired as a master sergeant, and I was a contract negotiator in the Air Force for the 23 years, plus I did another 10 years in the defense industry. So I've taken that knowledge, and I'm now sharing with people how to think like a negotiator, be better negotiators in business and employment and in life.
How do you think we as women are in our negotiating skills?
So most women don't like negotiation. I have a couple of surveys on my social media. I have a Facebook page and a secret group, Mission Think Like a Negotiator. And I've the survey, the number one reason that people don't like to negotiate, primarily women, is because fear of conflict. They don't like the conflict. It feels like conflict because you have to come and actually ask something. And as women, we're not taught to ask. We're taught to just, okay, we accept it. And it feels uncomfortable to ask for what we want. So getting past that makes women better negotiators, and that's what I help women do.
Do you think, though, that we maybe do negotiate, we just negotiate non-business things, like, you know, negotiating with your partner or your children or people in general, and we don't really realize that we do that and we're comfortable doing that, you know, why can't we translate that into business?
We do negotiate, and that's one of my primary foundational things that I share is we negotiate every day of our life. Whether it's a multi-million dollar deal or where to meet for dinner, we're negotiating each and every day. So if I want to meet you for dinner somewhere and I say, oh, let's meet at 8 o'clock. You're like, oh, I can't do 8. What about 7? Oh, 7's too early. How about 7:30? That's a negotiation. You just transfer those strategies over to actual business or employment type negotiation, and you're already doing it, so it's just learning how to translate it.
So who do you work with primarily?
Well, I do speaking and training, and I do a lot of events. I do things at corporate. I do help entrepreneurs. I have my own 3-day training where I have entrepreneurs, business owners, and corporate clients come, so it's kind of a mix. I kind of have a twofold mission there.
And have you ever been to a Connected Women of Influence event before?
I've been to the Mega Mixers in the past.
Oh, the Business Women's Mega Mixers?
You're right.
That's not really.
Oh, right.
But that
right.
was Michelle in the beginning.
Yes.
Yes. I mean, I've known her for a long time, but the Connected Women of Influence, it's just a really wonderful organization for
She's
business.
She actually had me as a speaker at the San Diego.
Oh, perfect.
San Diego one.
Yeah. Oh, did you come in when we were doing the breakfast?
Yeah.
Yes. Okay. Yeah. So what award? You're for the author of
Award.
Influence. Yeah. So are you looking forward to that?
I am. It's great. I've already met a lot of great women here that I didn't know, and there's new friends and old friends, and
so you had a chance to mingle.
Oh, I have. Yeah, that's another thing I teach in negotiation: the importance of building relationships, and making connections, and finding out. You go to events like this; people want to take cards. If you find out really something more about the person, and when you start having a conversation, you really understand whether or not maybe you're a right fit for them or they're a right fit for you.
Yeah, I've often thought the passing of cards around the business table is, you know, okay, but maybe not the best use of our time.
Right, because you get a bunch of cards and then you end up on a bunch of lists and who is this person? Where did I meet them?
Right.
But when you connect, one good thing, my name is very unique, Eldonna, so I like to ask people where their name came from. Oh, where did you get your name? Who were you named after? It starts a conversation about them because everybody likes to talk about themselves. And then if you pay attention, you can listen. And, oh, you know, you and I have a lot in common. We should meet for lunch. And then you get to know each other. It's about the quality of the relationship, not the quantity of cards you get.
Yes. I got Deborah from the Bible. And then my maiden name, I was so grateful to give up because nobody could pronounce it. It was McCarg, M-C, capital H. ARG. So I was grateful to get Simpson because nobody, you know, messes up Simpson. They all know. Although I took a big hit when the Simpsons, because Craig and I had been married for years before the Simpsons came out as a TV show. So everybody would walk up to me and say, oh, are you married to Homer? And I'd look at them and say, no, I'm married to Homer's brother.
You could use that and start the conversation.
It does start a conversation.
Well, where'd your last name come from? What?
It's actually Graham, spelled backwards.
Oh,
right.
And I don't know why, but I think we're Scotch and the name is Irish.
Oh, okay.
My dad was doing a lot of looking back. I forgot the name of it when you're going back in your
The genealogy.
Genealogy, yeah. So I've got the book. He passed away in 2003, and I have the genealogy book now. But he was doing quite a bit of research on it.
Yeah, I'd like to do that, too. My maiden name's Lewis, and then on my mother's side, it's English, and I'm related to my father is Irish, Welsh, and my mother's in English. So I'm related to somebody who signed the Declaration of Independence. So I'd really like to do some research on that one day.
Yeah, yeah. Now, tell the listeners how they can find you if they'd like to get in touch with you.
Well, you can go to my website at www.thinklikeanegotiator.com. There's a free report on there you can get and find out something a little bit about Contract 101, and I blog, and I'm also on social media, Eldonna Lewis Fernandez on Facebook, Eldonna F on Instagram and Twitter.
Perfect. Well, thanks so much for sitting down and talking to me today. Good luck on the awards.
Thank you. It's good to see you again.
It's good to see you, too. We'll catch up outside when I get this all finished up. And now we have our final interview for this morning because I think the festivities are about to begin out there. So I have Dr. Elizabeth Hafer from Precision Chiropractic. Hi, Elizabeth. Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
And so you're a local chiropractor?
Yes. This is in Rancho Santa Margarita.
What made you decide you want to become a chiropractor?
Well, I grew up in Davenport, Iowa, where chiropractic was founded, and I got a part-time job working at the college. And I loved what I saw, part of the field being able to help people feel better. And slowly and surely, I was able to complete my doctorate education, and I moved to California because I'm from Iowa.
Yes, I've been to Iowa. You do actually watch the corn grow. Yes. I was really amazed about that. But we had a really great time. We were in Webster City.
Oh, fantastic. My husband's from Dubuque, and I'm from Davenport. And we went home last summer and took our three kids with us, and we did everything there was to do in Iowa, and it only took 8 days.
Oh, wow. Yeah, so how long have you been here?
We've been here 8 years.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
Great. Now, is this your first CWI, or Connected Women of Influence event?
It absolutely is, and I'm so thrilled to be here. One of my patients actually nominated me for a Woman to Watch Award, and she is a part of the network, and she said this is the only network that she really puts any time into because it's such a great group of women, and she really feels connected and wanted me to be a part of it.
And who is that?
Tracy Kaiser.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm come up from the San Diego chapter, but I'm one of the major sponsors, so I come up here and have lunch with them as well. And yeah, it's a great group, very business to business.
Yeah, I saw that, and I've been mingling with some of the people at my table, and it's been great so far.
So what do you love best about your business?
Well, I specialize in this thing called Blair Upper Cervical Technique, and so it's kind of a niche inside of the chiropractic world, and it's a technique that not very many people know about, but my favorite part about it is I literally get to give people's lives back. When they come to my office, I give them hope, and I restore their health, and I literally connect them from above down, inside out.
I think there's a lot of misconceptions about chiropractic care.
Yeah.
And I think my husband's at his chiropractor's at least once a month getting adjusted.
Right.
And it's amazing. We were on a road trip last year, and we were in a very slender bathroom, and I got to use it in the middle of the night. And when I sat down, I smacked the bottom of my nose
the
towel bar.
Oh, no.
Fortunately, on the towel, not just the bar. I was 2 weeks later, and I was complaining at a morning breakfast about just lethargic and feeling clouded and just not good. And my girlfriend says, I think you have a concussion. 2 or 3 treatments.
Yeah.
I was feeling so much better.
Yeah. What we do is we actually kind of determine if the nervous system is working.
Ooh.
And so most people think chiropractic is only for headaches or back pain or you need to get your neck cracked. And I am the opposite of that. I don't crack your neck at all. I do a very precise correction based on an analysis that I take the first time you're in my office. And it's very detailed. And my job is to make sure that your brain and your body are connected at the source, which is right at the top of your neck. So the nervous system is what runs every single thing in your body. And if you don't have an intact nervous system, your health is going to be affected in some way. And it can stem from a physical trauma, an emotional trauma. Mm-hmm. You know, taking prescription medication sometimes can affect your nervous system. So we really look at you in a holistic way, and then we get you in alignment from a structural standpoint because the skull and the spine are what house your nervous system.
Mm-hmm.
So if that is intact, you're going to have an intact nervous system.
Wow, yeah, I was thinking you must take a more holistic approach.
Yeah.
Chiropractic has come a long way in
it
the
really
past
has.
20 years or
yeah.
so.
And I'm so fortunate. I've been able to kind of rise up in the community here in Orange County, and I'm actually the president of the Orange County Chiropractic Association.
Congratulations.
Thank you. So I've been serving in that position for 2 years, and it's so neat to be able to work with other chiropractors and, like, let us get on the same page and have a single message, and that is that we can help you heal naturally without the use of drugs and surgery.
And so what award are you up for?
So I've been nominated for Woman to Watch, and I'm looking forward to see where I place in that today, but it's just been such an honor to get the award, and filling out the fun fact sheet was really fun. Most people didn't know this, but when I was in high school, I wanted to be an opera singer. So.
Oh.
Chiropractic singing is what I do.
Oh, there you go. And for the listeners who'd like to get in touch with you, how can they find you?
You can find me at my website, www.drhafer.com, and that's spelled HOEFER.com.
Excellent. Well, congratulations on the award. Good luck.
I appreciate it.
Thank
you.
I'll see you inside there. Excellent. So that is the show for today. We'll be back. I want to first of all thank all our leading ladies, and a special thanks to all our listeners. We'll be back on Monday morning for another Women Lead Radio show. I'm Deborah Simpson, host of this special edition of Women Lead Radio, live from Newport Beach, the Radisson Hotel. Thank you for listening, and we hope you have a safe and prosperous week.
Women Leading the Way is produced by Connected Women of Influence, the premier private membership organization where like-focused business-to-business executive and professional women connect, collaborate, and cultivate a vast network of high-level affiliations, resources, and professional relationships. For more information about Connected Women of Influence, please visit our website at connectedwomenofinfluence.com.